We're currently in a series of messages that we are considering the idea of remember, or we're looking at reminders or something to promote remembrance about something. The last message that I preached on that a couple of weeks ago or so, do you remember what the topic was? What was it that we looked at involved with this word remember? How about a rainbow in the sky? We talked about the flood due to the wickedness of mankind, and when the flood was done, and Noah and his family left the ark, the Lord made a promise to them, and he said, I will never destroy the earth again with a flood. And he said, I have put my rainbow in the sky, and that when I see that, when I look at that, I will remember that I will never destroy the earth with a flood. The rainbow was given to remind the Lord to keep his word with us, and it was given to give us encouragement that we can trust what the Lord said. Not as though there was any question about that, but it's kind of neat to have that visual aid that when we see that, and who doesn't like looking at a beautiful rainbow after a storm? When the cloud clears and the sun comes up, I don't know how many times over the years I have dropped what I was doing and have run outside in hopes that the sun would be catching the moisture in the air just right so that I could see the rainbow. And you say, do you always see one? No, but sometimes there have been when I have run out there. But tonight, we want to move on. We want to move on. And today, we are going to be looking at something that really, as far as the context in which this comes, is something. This is a term which is used in the Old Testament. It's called sins of ignorance. Remember hearing about that or reading about that? There were certain provisions made by the Lord for his people to cover them if they suddenly discovered that they have done something wrong, and I didn't even know I wasn't supposed to be doing that. A sin of ignorance. That's the context in which tonight's topic comes. Andrew, if you want to call the title for this, let's just call this to help us remember. To help us remember. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we continue this subject of discovering things in your word that have been given down through the ages to help your people remember things, I pray tonight might be a blessing. You would be able to speak to our hearts. Perhaps the context of what we see here as far as the actual visual aid may not have reference or application to us, but help us to see the comparison we can make to find something that would relate to us. We commit this to you with thankfulness. In your name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. If you would let your eyes drop to verse 24, you see here, if aught be committed by ignorance without knowledge of the congregation. Starting at verse 24, we find the Lord made provisions for the entire congregation of Israel. When one day it was discovered, well, everybody's doing it, but we're not supposed to be. And we find that if there was sins of ignorance for the whole congregation, it tells what offering was to be brought: a young bullock, a drink offering, a kid of the goats. The priest shall make an atonement, verse 25, for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. They didn't know it. They didn't know they were doing something wrong. And it'll be forgiven anybody. Doesn't matter, verse 26, anybody from the whole congregation of Israel, or maybe there was even some strangers, some visitors in the land. They weren't even from those parts, but they were doing it too. Didn't matter. God said, you'll all be covered, forgiven, if you bring the appropriate offering. Then you start at verse 27, if any soul sin through ignorance. Now here it's narrowing it right down to a particular person. We're not talking about something the whole congregation was found guilty of doing, but now here it's suddenly some person discovers, boy, I didn't realize I was supposed to be doing that. And here's again the offering and the provision made for that. Notice though, before we go on, let me just share something in regard to that from the pulpit commentary. I want to just read some thoughts regarding this topic. It says, an atonement for sins of ignorance. These would be very largely sins of forgetfulness. And so, as prevention is better than cure, it was desirable to guard against forgetfulness. You know, what's a sin of ignorance? It could be I just didn't realize it, or I forgot I was supposed to be doing this. I forgot to do it. And this is what the author is saying, that most likely it covered a lot with regard to realizing they had forgotten to do something that the Lord had told them to do. And they, if therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to what it's called, it was sin. And so back in the Old Testament time, every time you sinned, you had to do what? Bring an offering. Bring an offering. Aren't we glad we don't have to bring offerings anymore? Isn't that something? Aren't we glad? I'd be running to the priest all the time. I realize that. I know that. I'm thankful for the blood of Christ, which cleanseth us from all sin. And if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Our Lord does not have to go back to the cross every time I confess to Him. Lord, I forgot. I know I was supposed to, but I didn't. We continue on. Sins of ignorance, when committed, may be atoned for, but it is better, if such a thing can be, not to commit them at all. Hence God, knowing the forgetfulness of the human heart, and how many cares, pleasures, novelties, and objects of interest there are to draw it away from the consideration of His will, recognizes a need to be provided for in a special way. And that's what we want to look at this evening, as our text is verses 37 through 41 of Numbers chapter 15. Our eyes drop down to verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon or a cord of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and what? Remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, or the way you used to live, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy, separate unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So as we look at this, we see in these verses the instruction that God gave them to help them remember and not be forgetting what God had commanded them to do. We see here the Lord instructed fringes or tassels on the borders of their garments throughout their generations. Now, as we think of this, we put our minds, at the time this was written, was Levi Strauss one of the main products that people would go to the supermarket, buy them a pair of Levi's. They didn't have pants. Now, interestingly enough, the priests, it does talk about trousers or pants for them, but the population as a whole wore what? Robes. That was the garments of the day. Robes. And the Lord said, as standard equipment, if we could use that word, on your robes. Every garment you make and wear is to have fringes on it at the bottom of that. And included in the fringe, you make sure you put some blue threads, ribbons. Don't ever forget to include that blue ribbon in your garments, because I have designated that as something to help you remember as you're walking along and you happen to glance down there and you see the fringe and you see that blue. The Lord says here in these verses, what was God's intention for that? Help them do what? Remember what? I'm responsible to be obedient to the commandments of the Lord. And every day as they went about, as they would put on, take off, as they wore and went about their daily activities, here were their garments with these fringes at the bottom, and here interspersed among them was to be this blue cord or thread. It was easily visible to anyone who would look. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 12, we learn this. You don't need to turn to it. It says, thou shalt make the fringes upon the four quarters of your vesture, wherewith you cover yourself. So, how do we make these robes that we cover ourselves with? Do we just take a piece of cloth, poke our head in it, and take a pair of scissors and just make it, you know, all the same length as we go around? What did the Lord say? These vestures that you make them, were they round? What shape were they? More like square, weren't they? So there would be four corners. Then you poke your head through it, and these four corners would be hanging down. If you put a square piece of cloth over your head, the corners are going to be the lowest part that hangs down. And the Lord said, I want you always to have those fringes on the four corners of your garments. And we saw in our text this evening that they were to have included in them this blue thread. I continue with this comment here. Fringes or tassels on the garments were ever-present reminders. We find the wearer could not but cast his eye on this addition to his garment. What are these? What's that? Tassels. And so as we think of this, we perhaps on those four corners, there was something similar to that they had devised. And among that, there was to be an obviously visible strand of blue that would be seen. As we think of this, it says he was at once to recollect that it was something not added by his own fancy, nor on his own garment only was this fringe to be found. Every time his eye rested on the garments of others around him, guess, you say, I don't want to wear a robe with fringes. Well, guess what? That was the garments of the day. I had them on, you'd have them on, and as you went about your daily business, you couldn't help but notice these fringes dangling around at the corners of your garment. He was reminded to treat those people in a just, godly, and brotherly fashion. Well, as we think of this, nothing is said in Scripture with regards to the size of those fringes, only that it had to be there. Stop and think about what that would mean. It wouldn't be long before people would take notice, especially the Gentiles around them, especially those that were not living under the law, to start asking questions. Hey, Joe, you know, I can't help but notice you've got these fringes on the bottom of your garment, and I see they're mostly one color, but you've got a thread or two of blue in each of these corners. What's that all about? Well, people would be asking. I'm sure it wasn't long before the unbelievers would be ridiculing them, because these Jewish people, they look kind of weird walking around with these tassels dangling on the bottom of their garments all the time. So I'm sure they became objects of laughter, ridicule. Now what? Now what am I going to do? I'd like to take it off so I wouldn't be so obvious. I would like to take it off so people wouldn't see that. What purpose did those small symbols serve? We've seen the instruction in verse 39a, especially we see the intent. Why did God do that with his people? It shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart or your own eyes like you used to do. As we think of the intent, every time they were to remember the importance of God's commands, as well as the importance of obedience to those commands. As we think about this, remember what is the context of this instruction that came to the children of Israel. What did we see a few minutes ago? What did we learn earlier in this chapter? This mark, this unusual addition to their garments was given to them in the context of sins of what? Ignorance. God did not want his people to forget the importance of his word. And he wanted them to be constantly reminded, I have a responsibility. There are certain things that God expects of me. And as Joe or Levi or Benjamin or whoever would be walking down the road, or Mary or Susie or Martha, and they look down and see these, it was to remind them, I can't forget what God expects of me. I must be faithful in, and I need to be concerned. I need to be asking myself, is there something the Lord expects of me? Is there something the Lord requires of me today? As I notice that blue ribbon down there, now that's to remind me of the Lord's word. As we think of this, we learn elsewhere that this color blue was the color often spoken of, the color of heaven. Isn't the sky blue? Sure, on a clear day, what color is it? Jerry and I had the privilege of visiting Charlie and Bo Frink in the spring of 2011. And it's the only time we've ever been in the Southern Hemisphere. But I was so impressed. Jerry and I talked about this, the color of the sky when we were down there. The blue of the sky when we were there in New Zealand. It was remarkable. Well, blue reminds us of heaven. But also, we discover that it was the color of the robe worn by the high priest. His robe was all blue. And we find that it was to remind them that they were not free to live after their own pleasure like they used to. That you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. It was to remind them, we are a different people. We have a responsibility to God. He has given us His word, and we are responsible to obey it. And as one of the Lord's, I can't live my life however I choose and just throw caution to the wind. The Lord said, as you wear these fringes and you've got that blue down there, it reminds you of my commandments and your responsibility to obey them, and also you are responsible for the way you live your life as one of my own. You cannot do your own thing. Anybody try to live their lives wanting to do their own thing today? Sure there is. Sure there is. And as we think of this, they were to remember that God expects them to be holy. Verse 40, remember to do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. And this means, remember, you are to be set apart unto Him. You are my people, God said. You're responsible for the way you live your lives. And you are to live your life as unto me. Do you know in 1 Corinthians 10:31, I think it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, what's the rest of it? We are to do it what? To the glory of the Lord. We don't wear blue ribbons at the bottom of our pants or the ladies at the bottom of our skirt. But God holds us responsible for the way we live our lives. And they were to remember that I am your God. I'm the Lord your God. Verse 41 ends. Well, that's quite a bit of significance to that little blue ribbon in that tassel that's hanging on their garments, isn't it? Now, the trouble of it is, so many times when God gives something for a good purpose, it's not long that people start distorting it. Have you ever noticed that? And by the time our Lord was here, if you would turn with me to Matthew 23:1-5, as I said, Scripture didn't tell us how large these tassels had to be. They just were required to be there. But in Matthew chapter 23, the first 5 verses, the Lord went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not do after their works. He said, do what they tell you to do according to the law of Moses, but don't live like them, because they say one thing and they don't do it. Does that sound kind of familiar with people today? You do as I say, don't do as I do. For notice verse 4, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Here, but all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. Remember what the phylacteries were? That was, I think, maybe our first reminder. Those little boxes that they were supposed to put between their eyes or to put on their right hand. By the time the Lord was here, we had the super spiritual, and you can just imagine. Some of them were walking around with big old babies strapped on their hands, because, man, they could hold a lot of the scriptures. We are so spiritual. He said they do it just to be seen, for a show. They make broad their phylacteries, and then what else? They enlarge the borders of their garments. It was all show, worn as a decoration, rather than God's original intent, devotion to Him. Well, what about us? Do we have anything to help us remember? Well, aren't you glad we don't have to wear fringes on the bottoms of our garments? I am. I'm glad I don't have to. But does that mean we don't have anything to remind us of our relationship with the Lord or our importance? I'd like to suggest some things to you. A, we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. I quoted this verse to you a few moments ago, but we go back to it and we quote it again. We have God's word, and sometimes we get kind of proud about that. Many times we find ourselves, as you talk with, I know what it says in the Bible about. You ever talk to somebody like that? I know what it says in there. But in James 4:17, the responsibility attached to you and me having God's word is, therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. We can have multiple copies. I do. Perhaps you do too. Multiple copies of God's word. I've got God's word. I know what it says. But do I do what it says? Am I obeying what God's word says? Just patting ourselves on the back, saying that, yeah, I've got the Bible. I read my Bible every day. That's a good one, isn't it? Well, praise the Lord, you're reading it every day. But do you attempt to practice every day what you're reading? That can be a whole different issue, yes or no. Sure can, can't it? Just having it, just reading it, doesn't mean I am obeying it. We don't have blue fringes, but we have God's word. And every time we come in contact with God's word, you know, something inside of us ought to be clicking, just like as they glanced down and saw that blue thread, it was to remind them of God's commandments and the importance to be obeying it. God help us that as we see and handle his word, we would be more and more conscious of his requirements for us, his will for us, and what I ought to be doing about it. B, not only do we have his word, but we have the Holy Spirit who indwells every true born-again believer. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, just because we have the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? What's the significance? What's the help here, Pastor? In Romans 8, 16 and 17, we read that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs of God, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to bear witness with our spirit. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. What's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit?
Conviction. Who?
Pardon?
Conviction.
Conviction. Bingo. Are we really responsive? Are we really sensitive when the Holy Spirit convicts us of something that's not right in our life? Or are we pretty good at saying, not now? Be quiet. I'll deal with that when I want to. We can't say, like the children of Israel, in the context of Numbers chapter 15, I didn't know this is what I was supposed to be doing. The Lord said, I don't want you to use the excuse of ignorance. I want you to have things on your garments so that every day of your life you can be reminded of the importance of the commands of God for your life and that you're supposed to be doing them. We don't wear blue ribbons, but we have the Holy Spirit who indwells to bear witness with our spirit. And that's one of his prime ministries, is to bring conviction or to assure us that this is the way. Walk in it. Give his blessing to what it is that we are doing. We have his Holy Spirit to bear witness. We find not only does he bear witness, but he was given to us to teach us. We like to plead ignorance. We like to say, you know, I just didn't know that was expected of me. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to be our teacher. In John chapter 14, verse 16, 17, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. He dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. And you go to verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom I will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. In John 16, 13 through 15, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He'll show you things to come. He'll glorify me. He'll receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You know, especially in that John 14, 26 passage, as here we see his ministry is that he is going to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have taught you. Do you know what I see here? God doesn't buy the ignorance plea. I didn't know. No, that's part of the Holy Spirit's ministry in you and me. His Spirit bears witness. When we're walking in the light as he is in the light, he is blessing. He is confirming this is right. We begin to go astray, and he begins to convict us. And the sad thing of it is, we can grow callous to his conviction, can't we? We can quench him. What's the other word?
Grieve,
there you go. We can cause grief to the Holy Spirit just by, I don't care what you say, this is what I'm going to do. Or we can quench the Spirit. When you quench it, what do? You put it out. And we can just say, I don't want to hear you anymore. Well, we see he bears witness with us, he teaches us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 19 and 20, he prompts us. He prompts us in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. I'm sorry. 6, 19 and 20. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, he prompts us. He shows us what it is that we're supposed to be doing with our life. And you see, again, we can't claim ignorance. I didn't know. Some months ago, we were in the epistles of John. And in 1 John 2:27, John said, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." John says we've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We have him in our lives. We know what it is he wants us to do. As we think back of our text, as we bring this to a close, the purpose was good. God gave them a visual aid to help them remember what was important. Sadly, people lost sight of the significance, and for many, they were nothing but meaningless symbols, a national tradition, something to brag about. What about us? As we handle God's word, are we conscious of God's desire for us to learn, live, love? Do we walk in the Spirit? Are we allowing the Spirit to teach us, direct us, guide us, or do we resist, even quench his efforts? I wrote out a prayer, and we close with this. Lord, help us to be appreciative of your word and to be submissive to the indwelling Holy Spirit. Help us to have a will to obey. Remind us daily that we are not free to live as we please, because we belong to you. And it's because of the great price which was paid. May we never forget our responsibility to you, our Lord and our God. Amen.